And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ and Bucky back with you. And Buck, man, we are getting closer to Cleveland. The draft is right around the corner, and we have got a jam-packed show today.
Yeah, we do have a jam-packed show. We have a one-on-one conversation with Najee Harris, top running back from Alabama. Speaking of Alabama, we're going to talk about the Alabama receivers versus the LSU receivers. Which group would you rather have? And finally, we get a chance to fix America's team. We're going to take the Dallas Cowboys into the body shop and get them rocked and ready to go.
Now, before we get to all that, Buck, I feel like we're averaging one big trade a week. This week, it was the news that Sam Darnold moving on. The Jets trading him to the Carolina Panthers for a sixth-round pick this year, a 2 and a 4 in 2022. I think we know, we have a good idea at least, of where the Jets are going with that second overall pick. It looks like Zach Wilson from BYU, the quarterback, will be the pick there. But for the Carolina Panthers, now that they have Sam Darnold, it frees them up to go in any direction they please. What do you see them doing here with the eighth overall pick?
DJ, I think now if you're going to commit to Sam Darnold, it looks like right now if you pick up the fifth-year option, you're talking about 2 years, $22 million. That's a solid number for a young, intriguing starting quarterback. How about we fix the offensive line? How about we get a guy like maybe Penei Sewell, someone who is there that can really upgrade it and get it done? And when you look at Penei Sewell, really he's a unique combination of a mauler brawler with athletic feet. There you saw him fire off the ball, the movement skills. Here we see the first step quickness and burst. And what shows up repeatedly on tape? His movement skills. Here working a combo to get to the linebacker, moving off the ball. You just don't see big athletic linemen that can do the things that he can do on the move. Here, pulling, getting to the next level, washing the linebacker out of the hole. He does it over and over again. And DJ, we've talked about it. This might be the best stuff that he does in the screen game, getting to the second and third level. Just his ability to move is unique for a big player. You just don't see guys that can move around like that. So if you are the Carolina Panthers and you're looking to protect Sam Darnold and to bring him back, you get a big-time playmaker on the edge like this. It gives you a chance.
Yeah, here's his scouting report. I was at that SC game where he made that tackle after an interception, but can really bend somebody that can uproot defenders over his nose. Very explosive. There are times where balance is a little bit of a concern there, something he can continue to work on as he goes towards the next level. I do think he hears his name called most likely in the top 10 and would be a great fit there with the Carolina Panthers. Well, speaking of players who are going to hear their name called in the top 10, I think we all agree. Justin Fields, a quarterback from Ohio State, is one of those who could go as high as number 3 potentially to the San Francisco 49ers, who are going to be on hand when Fields has his second pro day. That's going to take place April 14th. It almost looks like a showcase-type workout there for the 49ers, so it'll be interesting to see what goes down there. We had a time recently to catch up with Ryan Day, the head coach at Ohio State, to ask him about Justin Fields, and I thought his insight was outstanding. And I want to roll a couple clips here, Buck. Let's start with this first one. We asked him about not only that big Clemson game, but also Justin's performance against Alabama in the national championship game.
And the way he responded in that game in the biggest moment was, you know, 6 touchdowns, and he wasn't going to be denied. I mean, I can't tell you there's many quarterbacks that I've been around that would take a shot like that and come back in a play and throw a touchdown pass and go on to play the way he did, and then go on and play in the national championship game banged up without really practicing much. So this is a tough, tough guy who's been very dependable for us.
Coach, you've been an expert at this position for a long time. You've coached it at the NFL level at that position. To me, when I went back and watched the tape of the national championship game, even though the win wasn't there, I came away thinking that was almost as impressive as what we saw in the Clemson game. What was your evaluation of how he played, and given the fact that you just mentioned he was beat up in that game against Bama?
He played better than I thought he would. I mean, he really didn't practice much at all. I'm sure he was going to be able to play in the game, to be very honest. And we had one padded practice that really didn't, he wasn't a part of going into that game. So the timing and everything about that going into that game was not something we felt comfortable with. And I would go back at, like you said, watching the film with all those things against him, he did have really good snaps. He played well in that game. He didn't take chances, had a couple big runs, couple of nice, really nice throws. And, you know, in a different time, in a different setting, who knows what that would have looked like, but I thought he competed, and he always has done that. Never seen him not. And, no, again, when you just watch the film against a good defense and a really good team, obviously, he played well.
Yeah, Buck, I agree with Coach Day there. Your thoughts, we saw on the bottom of the screen there, 6 carries for 67 yards when he was beat up in that game to go along with some big-time throws.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is the best of Justin Fields in terms of how you have to utilize him in terms of using the run game, letting him be a part of it, getting on the move. I thought the way that he played in the playoffs actually kind of changed a little bit of the narrative about his game, because he did struggle in those games against Indiana Northwestern. So it was good to see him play better against elite competition. It kind of put some shine back on the star a little bit.
Yeah, and look, we've talked to so many people that understand and know the quarterback position well. They coach it, they teach it, they evaluate it. And the word toughness comes up over and over again, and I think it's a little bit undervalued to the general public. And man, you see that shot again that he took in that Clemson game to come back in that football game, play the way he did, and then compete the way he did in the national championship, I thought was incredibly impressive. One of the other topics of conversation we hit on with Coach Day was about Justin's preparation. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, one thing about Justin in the meeting room is you don't have to tell him something twice. He really picks things up quickly. And, you know, his recall is very similar to Joe Burrow. When I was here with Joe, he just understands things and then can take it to the field very quickly. And I think that's a trait that, you know, not a lot of people have. And I think the one thing, too, that he does a good job of is he can visualize a play on if you put it up on the screen and then talk about, well, what if they do this? What if they do that? You know, and he's already thinking about the different coverages that may show up.
Yeah, Buck, when you hear Joe Burrow's name invoked, and it seems like a million years ago. Oh, yeah, Joe Burrow was at Ohio State. You almost forget about that. But to compare his ability to grasp information, that is huge.
Yeah, it is huge because it gives you an apt comparison, because a lot of why we celebrated Joe Burrow was about his ability to understand and diagnose and process things at the line of scrimmage or process things in the middle of the snap. I would say that with Justin Fields, like, there have been some questions about that ability to kind of see things, to deal with changing coverage. Also, when it comes to the preparation part of it, I think Justin Fields even admitted prior to the Clemson game, this is the most that I've prepared for in terms of the film room and those things. And so as he gets into the National Football League and understands the responsibilities of a franchise quarterback in terms of knowing everything on the field, I think he will step up to the standard. But he certainly has the traits and the qualities to be a solid, even a great player. It's just understanding how to diagnose and do those things real time when it comes to the processing speed.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, as with any quarterback, the fit is going to be important. And we had a chance to ask Coach Day about what would be the right system fit for Justin Fields.
I think early on, an offense that is, you know, run, play action, get him on the move. He's really good out of the pocket, controlled passing game. And then as time goes on and he starts to feel more and more comfortable in the pocket with the third down and red zone and drop back passing concepts, he'll continue to just build, and more reps he gets of that, the better. But like any time you have a young quarterback, I think things where he's on the move and athletic and you give him the ability to make plays outside of the pocket is going to be exciting to watch. The other thing, part of his game, is when you study him in the red zone, he's really good down there. And so if we can, you know, find ways, we always felt like we could find ways to get the thing into the red zone, that he was really good down there. And so I think any kind of offense that is going to be able to put him in those type of situations, he's going to do well early on. And this is a guy who hasn't played a whole lot of football when you look at the grand body of work that he's had. And I think the potential is through the roof.
Buck, I don't know about you, but listening to Coach there, and I'm listening to him talk about, okay, early on, you know, use his athleticism, get him on the move, let him create some things, and then he's going to grow and evolve into being more of that pocket guy. I might have Josh Allen just kind of popped up into my head, and I'm thinking, yeah, that was the blueprint for Josh Allen. We've seen how that's worked out in Buffalo.
Look, I think that is the perfect comparison. I think it's the perfect blueprint, because much like the Buffalo Bills invested in Josh Allen by slowly adding pieces around him while also adapting their offense to Josh Allen's talent, I believe a team should follow a similar framework for Justin Fields. Justin Fields is immensely talented. He can do things that you just don't see quarterbacks do. It's 6'3", 230 pounds, running a 4'4", with big-time arm talent. Now it's about the offensive coordinator creating opportunities for him to play at his best, and I think that is something that you have to do, because he certainly has the talent to be a star. We'll see if someone can cultivate it.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot here as we're kind of wrapping up this discussion on Justin Fields. I know your conviction on him, so I just want the rest of the country to know. The San Francisco 49ers, if they pass on Justin Fields, in your opinion, Buck, are they making a big mistake?
I think they're making a huge mistake if they pass on Justin Fields, because I think he gives them the best of both worlds. He gives them the ability to play like they've been playing with Jimmy Garoppolo, while also giving Kyle Shanahan the opportunity to dig in the playbook and pull back out some of those old plays that he did for RG3. And so when you think of the mix of an athletic quarterback playing with the versatile weapons that they have on the outside, you're talking about an offense that can create headaches for defensive coordinators around the league, because you have so many dynamic players that can do a bunch of different things. I would not want to face the 49ers if Justin Fields was the quarterback.
Well, they're going to get one more look at him. April 14th, another pro day there for Justin Fields. See if he can't convince the 49ers he should be the third pick in the draft. Najee Harris, running back at Alabama. Even though Harris only participated in the workout portion of Alabama's pro day, he tells Bucky he's ready for the draft.
How is everything going? Because it's been a bit of a whirlwind. Not only the college football season, which was a challenge in itself, dealing with all the protocols, but now getting ready for the draft and all this stuff. How are you managing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different adjustment for sure. I mean, you being in Bama, of course, for 4 years, and I mean, you're in their rule system of what to do, what time to wake up, and you're just leaving out and preparing for the draft. I mean, I'm in Dallas right now, Exos in Dallas, training with Brent Callaway. It's actually really fun. I mean, just to meet the guys that are there that I'll be competing with eventually, but. At the running back position, there's a couple guys there. So just doing the individual drills. It's like good competition. I'm not trying to say competing as in like, you know, mm-hmm. any other way, but it's good competition for us to get better in training. Obviously, we still go through the COVID stuff like that. We still get our temperatures taken and stuff like that. But I mean, it's easier than expected.
I have to ask this because I hear so much about Alabama and the process. What is the process? What does it mean to you?
What does the process mean to me, man? A lot of stress, a lot of mental toughness. I feel like, I mean, obviously the hard work, but I feel like being at that program is not so much as the toll on your body. It's just more like physically, like your attitude-wise, mentally, what I'm trying to say. I mean, you got to be mentally strong at that dang place. I'm telling you right now, dog. You got to be mentally strong from the meetings you have, just saving yelling at you for no reason. I mean, just putting like the small things, like putting your hair up in a bun, I guess. You can't have it hell hanging out. I mean, just all the meetings and stuff like that. And just, it's just mentally, you got to be mentally there.
A lot of guys feel like that mental grind actually prepares them very, very well for the next level. Do you feel like you're very prepared to enter the National Football League?
100%. That's the beauty of it, because Bama is like the miniature NFL. It is like they prepare you. The way they prepare us at Bama is 100%. Like it translates to the league. We have all types of guys who have been in the league to teach us, and that's a huge, huge piece to the to developing the players.
So it's interesting, right? My podcast partner, Daniel Jeremiah, who you'll eventually meet, he has compared you to Matt Forte, who played for a long time for the Chicago Bears and the New York Jets. What do you think about that comparison?
Matt Forte is a legend for sure, though. But I don't see me as Matt Forte. I mean, I get all type of things. I heard that before, though. I heard Derrick Henry, of course, which I don't know why, but
well, who do you see? Who do you see? Like, if you had to compare yourself to somebody.
If I compare myself to somebody, it's me. I understand, like, it's people's job to do the comparison and stuff like that. But, I mean, there is no comparison. I'm not to, like, there's, like, you can say what anybody want, but, like, I feel like I'm my own person. I bring my own game to the thing. I mean, like, we live in a society, though, where everybody loves to do comparisons. I mean, one person I love watching always was Adrian Peterson. I mean, like, that's one guy I love. But, I mean, like, do you see
catch better than him, though? You catch better than him, though. He can't catch the ball out the backfield.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, well, I didn't say that. That was you who said that. You
said it. I said it.
So make sure you put that out.
I said it.
I didn't say none of that. All right.
Yeah, Najee Harris, very smart there, Buck. He's not getting caught up in this Adrian Peterson, and I'm saying I'm better than Adrian Peterson. But here are the strengths with Najee. You look at the big, smooth running back. He's got the patience. He's excellent as a pass catcher, dependable in pass protection. Doesn't have that huge juice, Buck. But, man, this is a fun player to study.
He is a fun player to study. We should put on the exo tape. We can see it. First thing that stands out right away is his vision. His ability to find the creases at the line of scrimmage are really uncommon for a big back that can be a banger. There you see the explosive downhill ability, gets to the secondary, can run away from the secondary, breaks tackles, does a great job of finding pay dirt. Even though he's big, we talk about a guy 238 pounds, we see the elusiveness jumping over a defender, finding a way to put it into paint. He does this. This, to me, is the most impressive part of his game. Route running ability. He runs routes like a wide receiver. In fact, when I look at him, he reminds me a lot of Le'Veon Bell in terms of his ability to make plays in the passing game. You see it with the hands, pass protection. He is a unique weapon, one that you certainly can build an offense around. And I think he's going to be a huge contributor right away when he gets to the National Football League.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with Alabama. You can look at this track record of running backs they've had over the last several years. It's impressive. Maybe not as impressive, though, as the wide receiver group, because we're going to have another two first-round picks here from Alabama this year, starting with Devontae Smith, who, to me, is the best route runner in this year's draft class. Now, we can debate where he stacks one, two, or three on the top receiver list, but I don't think there is any debate. If you want somebody just to run routes, create separation, and go get it, man, he's pretty special, Buck.
He is, man. He is a craftsman. He is a skilled route runner. He does a great job of creating space and separation. His partner on the other side, though, Jaylen Waddle, is explosive. I think that is the one word that you would have to use to describe him after watching his tape. He explodes and separates away from defenders. He is dynamic with the ball in his hands. And his ability to score from anyone in the field enhances and elevates an offense. You talk about two unique playmakers that the Alabama Crimson Tide were able to produce this season.
Well, if you want a wideout, you can go shopping either in Tuscaloosa or you can go to Baton Rouge, because to me, the best wide receiver in this year's draft class is Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. We saw him recently at his pro day. You see the size there. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he plays much bigger than that. He's strong. He's powerful. He can win on those 50-50 balls. Maybe occasionally drop a ball in the back hip, but that's nitpicking. We can go to the video and I can show you what makes him the top wideout in this year's draft class. First of all, let's start with the fact he's in the SEC. Both the Alabama kids and the LSU receivers, they're getting after some top-tier corners. Can you beat press? Absolutely. He can beat press with his physicality. He can beat it with his quickness. See a little bit of the subtle separation there at the top. He's good at playing that game. Physicality, here it is again. At the line of scrimmage, swipe it away. How about the physicality at the top? Little Michael Irvin nudge. Give me a little extra separation. And then how about the suddenness? Can you stack, get on top, and then separate? Boom. There he goes. Up above the rim, 50-50 balls. Show me the strong hands. He did that. Just about every tape you watched, you saw Joe Burrow give him opportunities to make plays like this. So we've seen him do it at a very high level against elite competition, Buck.
Look, he is an elite player, but the guy on the other side is not too bad either. That's Terrace Marshall. Big, athletic, wideout, smooth strider, does a great job of using his body to create space. Not quite the route runner of his counterpart, but he is very, very productive. And so when you think about having two guys that are able to kind of get down like they've been able to get down, Ja'Marr Chase and Terrace Marshall, it's a part of the legacy of LSU and their playmakers on the outside.
Yeah, those numbers from the workout, pretty darn impressive. One of the few bigger wideouts in this year's draft class has a chance to go in round one. This got us thinking. We're talking about Alabama. We're talking about LSU. Look at this. We're going to have seven first-round picks from these two schools alone between 2020 and the 2021 draft. So, Buck, as we look at this list of the Bama receivers, you see the LSU receivers led by Justin Jefferson, the phenomenal rookie season he had. If you got to pick one going into the future, Who would you invest in between these two groups?
Well, I'm gonna go Tigers. I'm gonna go with LSU because I've seen Justin Jefferson play at a level that was almost worthy of winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And then you think about Ja'Marr Chase and the fact that Ja'Marr Chase was actually the number one receiver when Justin Jefferson was there. That speaks volumes about his talent. So for me, I love what the Alabama receivers have been able to do. But man, those Tigers, man, got to rock with the Tigers in this one.
Well, I'm going to go quantity here. I've got four. You've got three. I've got four. So if I go with Bama, I mean, I'm not a math guy, but four is more than three. So to me, you get a chance with Devontae Smith, who I think is going to be a high-volume receiver, as Jerry Jeudy, I think, is going to grow into for the Denver Broncos. And then I've got the two home run hitters. I've got Ruggs with the Raiders. Flashed a little bit last year, needs to get better. I think he will. And then you look at Waddle, what he's going to do, not only as an over-the-top receiver, but as somebody that can help you on special teams as a dynamic returner. So you're going Tigers, I'll go Tide. I know one thing, if you're a team that has any of these seven wide receivers going forward, you're happy. Those are the real winners, Bucky Brooks. Those are the real winners, the teams that get to deploy these fantastic weapons. We're going to take the Dallas Cowboys inside the Move the Sticks body shop in just a moment. But first of all, Buck, a new contract for Dak Prescott. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means that they finally confirmed and solidified Dak Prescott's status as the franchise quarterback, paying him over $40 million a year. He is now entrenched to be this Cowboys starter for maybe the next 4 or 5 years. And so now you can go about building the team with Dak Prescott emerging from game manager to playmaker. And I think the decisions that you make now have to be about enhancing Dak Prescott's skills as a playmaker.
Yeah, they really started to put more on his shoulders with this offense before this last injury he suffered. But man, I think he's still growing as a player, which should be exciting for Cowboy fans. And I think one of the big beneficiaries of this deal getting done is with the continuity. I look at a guy like CeeDee Lamb coming off the rookie season that he had last year, not having Dak Prescott out there for very long, still catching 74 balls, almost 1,000 yards. I think you're going to see CeeDee Lamb put up prolific numbers working with Dak Prescott.
You know, I agree with you, DJ. CeeDee Lamb, but also Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, all of those guys' numbers were better when Dak Prescott was on the field. I think you have an opportunity to see this Cowboys offense return to a top five offense with Dak Prescott.
All right, it's time. Let's get inside the body shop here and see if we can't help out the Dallas Cowboys. How about the needs here? What do we need to fix on this car here?
Well, you know, DJ, last year they played with two undrafted free agents at tackle after injuries to Lael Collins and Tyron Smith. So offensive line has to be a consideration. You need an edge rusher opposite DeMarcus Lawrence. Randy Gregory came on like gangbusters, but you want another guy that you can depend on. Cornerback has always been an issue. You have Trevon Diggs out there that you feel good about, but who is the corner that starts opposite? And they have been on the hunt for a safety for a long time. A playmaker that can roam and cover certainly needs to be a priority when you have Dan Quinn coming over to take over this defense.
Well, we say it every week in the body shop here, the engine, you've got to start with the engine, and that is the NFL draft. That's what makes this car work here. So when we look at this draft, we've got the 10th overall pick for the Cowboys, Buck. What do they do?
Oh, Rashawn Slater. If Rashawn Slater is there at 10, they must make the move. They must make the pick. We can talk about their defense and upgrading the cornerback, but sometimes you want to build strength on strength, upgrade this offense, get them a tackle that also has position flexibility to maybe kick inside and play guard. You now have a position of need shored up because you've protected in case of injury with Collins and Smith, and you also maybe have upgraded at left guard if you want to upgrade and remove Connor Williams from the starting lineup.
Well, you saw that stat there on the bottom of the screen just a second ago. Under pressure, 30.5% of the dropbacks last season, fifth highest in the NFL. So getting better in pass protection is key for this football team. I love that pick of Slater, inside-outside flexibility as well. I'm going to go here, pick 44. I know you talked about edge rush, but I'm actually get some interior rush here with Levi Onwuzurike from Washington as a three technique, somebody that can get upfield. He's disruptive. He can generate a lot of pressures. Didn't play in 2020. He was an opt-out. But you go back to 2019, specifically the Stanford game, Buck. I thought he was very dynamic. And in Dan Quinn's scheme, getting somebody inside that can get up the field is huge.
Yeah, getting up the field is huge in this game. And we saw when he was in Atlanta, Grady Jarrett emerged. Not the same type player, but we understand the value of inside pass rush in DQ's defense.
No doubt. That's actually not a terrible comparison. I think there is some similarities there. How about pick 75? What are you doing?
Hey, let's double up. Let's double up at offensive tackle. Make sure we're solidified. Spencer Brown with the 75th overall pick. This is a guy that's long, athletic. In high school, we played eight-man football as a tight end. So now you've seen him develop and become a guy who is on the cusp of being ready to be a plug-and-play starter. I think you get him. You now make sure that you have all kinds of insurance to make sure this offensive line can always function, no matter if Lael Collins and Tyron Smith are available or not.
Yeah, I'm going to go get his teammate here. I want to go grab Ellerson Smith. We went back-to-back Northern Iowa picks here for the Cowboys. Ellerson Smith reminds me a lot of Max Crosby. Very long. He was a productive player. No season for them, obviously, in 2020. But, man, very productive in 2019. And this is a Cowboys team. Next-gen stats letting us know 23.9% of the dropbacks, they blitzed in last season. They can't afford to do that. They've got to be able to get home with four. And I think we've been able to accomplish that now with a couple defensive linemen. We've got a couple offensive linemen here for the Cowboys as well. So inside the body shop for us here in the Move the Sticks body shop, it's all about the trenches. The 2021 NFL Draft is right around the corner. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, they're all going to hear their name called very early on night number one. You can find the coverage right here on NFL Network, April 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Well, another quarterback who's likely to hear his name called very early in round one is Trey Lance from North Dakota State. He went 17-0, culminating in a national championship in his lone full season as a starter at North Dakota State. He's been turning heads ever since he stepped on the field. Might be a little bit raw, but he's got all the tools you look for in a team leader.
Meanwhile, the quarterback who Lance succeeded at North Dakota State, Easton Stick, set the FCS record for most career wins while he was in college. Stick will be entering his third season as the Chargers' backup and recently spoke about his protege's prospects.
Excited to be joined by Easton Stick. Easton, first of all, man, I'm curious what you've been up to since the season got done.
Yeah, it was nice to kind of get away for a little bit, be able to go back home and see family back in the Midwest, and especially just the way the year went with all of, you know, everybody's going through it. They're different way with, you know, the COVID-19 and then the year not going the way we wanted to, wins and loss wise, but it was good to get back home and step away from football for a bit and, you know, made my way back to California now and kind of back into the swing of things, getting back into the routine, working out, throwing, all that fun stuff. So kind of chomping at the bit here to see kind of where we fall with off-season stuff, but excited to kind of be back in the swing of it.
It's a challenge, I know, when you're not getting out there and getting actual game reps, but you get a chance this year. You saw Justin Herbert, and that just took off for him. Tyrod Taylor's moved on now. You're in a spot right now where you're going to probably have to play some games here going forward. What did you work on this last year away from our eyes, just on the practice field for yourself to get better?
Yeah, like you said, you just got to maximize the reps that you do get. And then obviously the mental reps and all of that, shoot, feel like I probably lead the league, you know, in some of those, being able to watch Phillip, watch Justin, Tyrod, all those guys. And so just getting a chance when you are on the scout team to work on the small stuff. And I think the biggest thing you get out of that is you're going against Joey Bosa, you know, Chris Harris, Casey Hayward, those guys that are really good football players. And so now it's about, okay, how do you feel the pocket and work on some of that stuff that you don't necessarily get in drills? You know, it's one thing to complete a ball on air. It's another thing when Chris Harris is on their back and, you know, Joey's rushing off the edge and there's a guard in your face. And so just trying to maximize those reps and put myself in what's as close to a game situation as possible. So just a lot of stuff with the footwork and, you know, trying to be clean and rhythmic with that stuff.
I'm curious on that. I think it's a great point. I mean, are you kind of seeing what you can and can't get away with there? I mean, it's really a great lab for you to be able to work on that.
Yeah, definitely. There's a line, right, of how much do you need to, you know, prepare yourself to play, but also prepare the defense to who they're playing and what they're going to get. And then at the same time, right, let's try to improve. And like, it's a testing lab. What can you get away with? What can't you do? And so seeing Justin and some of the throws he makes, you know, on Sundays, it's like, okay, you know, is that something I can do? Can I try to press that here? Or is that not something that I'm able to do? And maybe, you know, I see it a little bit a different way. This coverage takes me here rather than, you know, the throw Justin made or Tyrod. And so, like you said, there's a lot of stuff that you can improve on. And, you know, I've tried my best to take advantage of that the last couple of years.
No, I think you're smart to do so, man. You think about Patrick Mahomes and the year that he had to sit behind Alex Smith and just develop and go up against the starting defense and make yourself better. I love that. I'm curious. You just mentioned Herbert, and you were there. I know he was young. He was just a freshman with Trey Lance. But when you compare those skill sets, is there any similarities there between those two guys, Easton?
Yeah, I think so. Well, both big, strong, like physical. You talk about like the prototype. you know, physically. I think they're both right in there with, and then athletically, what they're able to do movement wise, they're both quick, they're both fast. They have the ability to escape and stay athletic and make plays, you know, outside of the pocket. But I think the one thing that I think is really similar is it's just mentally their ability to process. That was maybe the thing that stood out, Trey, when I was first around him at North Dakota State, and how quickly he learned our offense and how quickly he was able to just kind of absorb everything that he was being taught. And Justin was the same way, shoot, having no OTAs, no preseason, to be thrown in there week two, you know, as the ball's getting kicked off, and just go operate the offense, and he never looked back. And so I think just their mental makeup, they're both mature and can just handle a lot of information and process it. So both super impressive that way.
I think about it. Your career is fascinating to me, Easton, as I think about you being sandwiched between Carson Wentz and Trey Lance, and then you're around Justin Herbert. I mean, you talk about just the physical skill sets. You play the game creatively. You create plays with your legs. You make things happen. You bring that excitement. You're talking about three guys, though, from a stature standpoint and a skill set standpoint. You've been around some guys with incredible, incredible skill sets.
Yeah, no doubt. I've been really fortunate. I have. I remember first day, you know, being up in the summer in Fargo around 7-on-7 for the first time and not really knowing who Carson is, but walking out into the field and here's this big joker. And he's out there ripping it, throwing teams and stuff behind the Tampa 2 Mike's heads. And I'm like, holy smokes. Like, I don't know if I can play here. Like, this guy's legit. Little do we know he's the number two pick, you know, a year and a half later. And so, yeah, to be around him, to be around Trey, just guys that are super talented, obviously Justin. And then, throw Phillip in there too, you know, and what he was able to do inside the pocket and arm angles, all that stuff. Guys that, I've been really fortunate to be around some really good players.
I want to hit you up on the new staff here real quick. I've got new coaching staff coming in there with the Chargers. You mentioned the year, you know, not going the way that you wanted it to go earlier, but man, you know, covering this team for the 3 years that I have, the talent, there's a lot of talent on this roster. How is the enthusiasm now as you get a fresh start here with a new staff?
Yeah, definitely. Guys are fired up. And I think Coach Staley and his staff have done a great job coming in and, you know, being able to communicate with the guys as much as possible and get a chance to learn a bit about one another and really just build this thing together. Like you said, we're excited about, you know, the guys in the locker room. We're fired up when you look around and you see Joey Bosa and Derwin and great players, Keenan and Mike on offense. And so you're fired up about it. And so now we're excited to learn from this new staff and a new sense of energy, a new challenge. And I think anytime you get that, it just kind of invigorates everybody. And so definitely excited to get rolling whenever we can.
Purely out of curiosity, there's a lot of stuff out there about what could happen and the negotiating taking place right now between the union as well as the league and what the offseason would look like. How does it impact you when we had a virtual offseason last year as a young developing quarterback? If we do away with mini camps and some of these off-season activities, how does that impact you and what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because obviously there's no way to replicate the reps. There's no way mm-hmm. that you can make up for not having those. And so that's tough. But at the same time, I think we've shown and guys have shown that you can go out there and play at a high level without it. Look at Justin, no OTAs, no preseason, and shoot, the rookie of the year and look just about as good as anybody for you know a big stretch of the season. And so it can be done without. There's ways that you just get creative and you find ways to do it. That's been the biggest thing with all this COVID stuff is you just got to find a way to adapt and grow and just be flexible. And so I think our league has done a really good job with that. And so whether we have them or whether we don't, I know guys will be ready to play. They'll find a way. We always do. And, you know, we'll be ready to go regardless.
Easton, we appreciate you taking some time for us today. We want to do a little thing we've done on the show called Pro on Prospect, where we take a pro football player. We're looking at a draft prospect, and there's a tie-in, a similarity there. And we thought this was an easy one for us here with your former teammate and Trey Lance being in this year's draft class. So are you ready to roll?
Yeah, let's do it. Appreciate you having me.
No, it's great to see you again, man. There's a couple characteristics that I thought you guys share and have in common and going back to your evaluation. And the first one I want to hit on here is just your toughness. Something I think that's ingrained in every football player up there at North Dakota State, but you in particular. And I think it's something that Trey has as well. Is that a nature or nurture thing? Tell me about your toughness there and where it came from.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. But I think, like you said, North Dakota State, I mean, that area of the country, that university, those people, that's a huge characteristic of everyone that's a part of that program and from that area. And so I think the team kind of embodies that, and you just kind of learn as you grow through that, you know, what it means and to play for something bigger than yourself and all of that. So I think that's a part of it. And then I think just playing the position, it's something you got to have, be able to stand in there and show the other guys that they can trust you and rely on you.
Is there a story or a moment or a memory there at all with Trey during that early year there with him where you thought, okay, this kid, I know one thing, this kid's got that. He's got that toughness.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember him getting beat up a little bit in fall camp. And, you know, the freshmen were all going live. It was essentially our form of preseason, you know, inter-squad scrimmage. And I remember Trey getting hit pretty good a few times, you know, doing the quarterback run game and all that stuff. And as an 18-year-old, you know, freshman, it's the first time you're seeing him go through any of that stuff. And you knew he was big, strong, fast, all that. But until you get hit and have to get up and now complete a pass on third down, it's a little bit different. So seeing him do that in the scrimmage was impressive. And then, shoot, he got a little game action that year with the new redshirt rule and was running around and running through people. So it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, no red jersey for you guys during scrimmages back in the day. I can appreciate that. As a former quarterback, that's a nightmare. All right, how about let's get into arm strength a little bit, being able to fit balls in tight windows. I've seen that from you, not only going to North Dakota State, but having a chance to see you compete there with the Chargers doing those games and your opportunities there in the preseason. Just the importance of that. I know arm strength's not the be-all, end-all, but being able to fit balls in tight windows.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, as you grow in the game and the coverage becomes better, it's more important. I think, like you said, it's not the end all be all. But the ability to put stress on a defense, knowing that they've got to defend, you know, every area of the field. And then shoot, defenders are good and they can run and they're smart. And so having a little bit behind it to be able to, you know, whether it's layering it over somebody with a little bit of juice or just drilling it and throwing it through somebody. You get something you got to have. And so definitely a big part of Trey's game for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I expand on that a little bit, because to me, the word, we just did his pro day the other day, and to me, horsepower. I just wrote down, this guy can power the football. You get out there on the field with him for the first time. He's a freshman. Did he open some eyes there with his arm?
No doubt. I remember being around him for the first time in the summer, you know, before school even starts, and just throwing routes on air and 7-on-7 and stuff. And I'm like, shoot, here I am, a fifth-year senior. I've played a lot of football games. I'm pretty good about it. And here walks Trey Lance, you know, 6'4" and 220 pounds as a freshman. And just throwing it all over the place. And you hear the ball whistling. And so it was fun to have him, because it was instant competition. You're like, man, this guy can really throw it. And he had everything else around it. But watching him spin it that first day, you're like, shoot. All right, we got to go now. We got to elevate the game a little bit, because this guy can really play.
I love it. The third thing here, and maybe the most important thing with the position, we can talk about, you know, poise, accuracy, all those things, anticipation, timing, arm strength, athleticism. It doesn't matter if you don't make good decisions. It's something you did on your way to multiple national championships. Shoot, you won 4 of them there when you're at North Dakota State. And that tradition carried over here with Trey. Just the importance of that aspect of the game there. What would you say about that with the decision making?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is you just have to value the football and value possessions. And, you know, if you're giving teams short fields and, you know, it's just a lot tougher to win that way. And so understanding, you know, the reason why you're calling plays, when you're calling them, how you're trying to attack defenses, I think that's all a part of it. Just understanding the game, you know, when it's a good idea to maybe let's push the envelope a little bit here and see if we can fit one in, and knowing other times just throw it away or, you know, get to your check down, fall down, whatever you got to do just to value the football. And so I think it's all just about understanding the game. And I think we were both fortunate to play at a place like North Dakota State that teaches you football and teaches you how to value the football and just on how we wanted to win games. So we were fortunate to learn where we did.
Speaking of value, when it comes to Trey, I mean, he kept a clean sheet for the entire 2019 season. I, in my scouting career, I don't remember ever recalling a quarterback have that line that he had with the big goose egg there, donut, having played as much football as he has. to make it through a whole season, I don't care who you're playing against, who you're playing with. That stat to me just blows my mind.
Yeah, it is unbelievable to not have a ball that shoot, even the ones that get tipped or, you know, just something funky goes through somebody's hands, all that. So, and I know when you watch it, and I got a chance to watch a lot of his games, just rooting them on and stuff, and there weren't a lot of balls that were even in harm's way. And so it's one thing, I think, to be careful with the football, and there's another thing to value it and understand, you know, when can we try to fit something in there, not necessarily be scared to make a mistake, right? You still got to play and make throws, but value it. And so it wasn't like he was out there just, you know, throwing it 2 yards, checking it down every time. He was pushing the ball down the field and trying to be explosive. And so I think that just speaks to the way he prepared during the week and, you know, obviously going out there and executing the plan on Saturdays.
In this draft, not only with Trey Lance, we also have Zach Wilson from BYU. These are guys outside the Power Five. And to me, I think when you look at some of the success that these guys have had at the next level, some of it speaks to some of the adversity that maybe you wouldn't get if you were at in Alabama or an LSU or some of these other places.
Yeah, absolutely. Because in some of these places that we're playing, the non-Power Five schools, you don't have all the weapons around you to necessarily elevate your game. And so as the quarterback, you have to do it. We always talk about quarterbacks in terms of trucks and trailers. Well, most of the guys that are playing the QB1 position at a non-Power 5 schools, they have to fall into the truck category. They're having to pull their team along, and their play certainly dictates how well their team is able to play and if they're able to win consistently. And so that gives them confidence when they go to the next level that all the things may not be perfect around them, but they are okay because that's the environment that they played in for 3 or 4 years as collegians.
Yeah, one difference I would say, you know, just looking at it, is Josh Allen, you know, what he was playing with compared to who he was playing against, he was at a deficiency there. And even though, you know, Zach Wilson at BYU and you look at Trey Lance at North Dakota State, they probably had a talent advantage in every game that they played this last season. BYU, no fault of their own, but just the schedule that they were mm-hmm. forced to play. But I think there is something to the psychology, though, Buck, if these guys weren't five-star kids. These guys didn't show up at a major university competing for national championships. These were, you know, three-star type kids that had to kind of fight their way through to get their opportunity.
Yeah, no, I think there is something too that we always talk about adversity and how adversity can make you a better player if you handle it the right way. Some of the adversity that these guys have experienced, maybe going through the high school recruiting process and not getting the looks or the offers that they may have felt like they deserve based on their talent, maybe going to a program that doesn't have everything that some of the bigger programs have, it certainly shapes them, but it may make them better prepared to handle the responsibility of being a QB1 at the NFL level.
Yeah, I guess the last thing I'll wrap it up on this is that, you know, Josh Allen is a great example. He's really turned himself into a great player, but it did require some patience from his drafting team. So whoever drafts Trey Lance, even with Zach Wilson, there's going to be an adjustment period here. So don't freak out when everything doesn't go great right off the bat. Just be patient. Believe in the talent. It'll eventually show through. All right, it's time to play our favorite game here on Move the Sticks. It's called Wheel of Prospects. We spin the wheel to get a position. Once we have that taken care of, now we're going to spin it to get a team, and then we're going to match a player with those teams at that position. All right, let's see what position, Buck, that we are on today. Let's give this wheel a spin. What do we have here? We are going to go with edge rushers. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give this thing a spin, and we have the Jets as the first team up. Look, they have 2 first-round picks. They're going to take a quarterback, probably Zach Wilson at 2. If they don't get one at 23, I'm going to go Joe Tryon at the top of the second round, 34th pick out of the University of Washington. Ideal frame coming off the edge, knows how to use his length, plays with a big motor. I think Robert Saleh would appreciate the way he plays the game and give them some more pass rush opposite a big free agent investment that they made in Carl Lawson.
Look, man, he's a big-time playmaker. He does a great job of playing with effort and energy, plus you add the athletic skills. He could be a handful at the next level. My turn. I get to spin. Here we go. Let's spin it. Here we go. Let's spin it. Here we go. What we got? Let's see. Oh, the ATL, the Atlanta Falcons. This is a fun one. So let's go with Perkins. Let's go Ronnie Perkins from Oklahoma. He is my pick for them in the second round. And here's why I like Ronnie Perkins for the Falcons. Up-tempo player, good first step quickness. When you see him, man, he wears people out just with a relentless pursuit. And I think he's a guy that's going to continue to improve as a pass rusher at the next level. He has the traits that you're looking for. Now it's about just adding the technique, but he has an opportunity to be a difference maker for the Falcons.
All right, I'm going to get another one in here. Let's spin it again here, see if we can get another team. What do we got? Oh, Giants, here we go. 11th overall pick. Let's go Kwity Paye here from Michigan, somebody who I thought was moved around a little too much for the Wolverines. When you park him on the perimeter, he's got that speed to power, ultra twitched up. We saw that from his pro day. I think he would be a great fit right there for the Giants. You want to try and get one more here? Quick one, Buck, quick one.
Here we go. Let's get a quick spin. Let's get a spin. Let's get a spin. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, you got to get it.
Oh,
in,
Minnesota Vikings. This is easy. Mike Zimmer wants a guy that's polished. How about Jalen Phillips from Miami? This is a polished technician with outstanding athleticism. You put him opposite Danielle Hunter. Look out, teams in the NFC North.
Oh, there you go. We squeezed one last one in there. That's going to do it for us today. We appreciate you guys checking us out. Big show next week. We've got Greg Rousseau, Travis Etienne. They're going to join the show, as well as taking the Las Vegas Raiders inside the body shop. You're not going to want to miss it. We appreciate you hanging with us right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to nfl.com/podcasts.